The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, live from the South Point. Brian Ortega in for Wyatt Tomchak, who's in for Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, Brian? What's happening?
Doing good. This is a very early morning for me, I have to say.
Well, pardon me. Sorry to interrupt your regular flow. Brian, by the way, when as those who are keen numbers game listeners will observe, every time he's here, he gives us fantastic off-sports betting things like movie reviews and restaurant recommendations. Later today, a full movie review on both Barbie and Oppenheimer. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But you are, after the show, you are doing what? Tell everybody what you are doing.
So I've been planning this for, I think, 2 weeks now. So I'm actually going to do the show, and then I'm going to fly to Los Angeles. So go to the airport, fly to Los Angeles. I'm going to check out the Academy Awards Museum because I do the awards here on the network. And then I'm going to go see Oppenheimer in 70mm IMAX, the way it's supposed to be seen. You can only see it in 30 theaters in the world, and like 7 of them are in California.
Wow.
So how could I not do it?
Good for you. And you've already seen the movie. That should be pointed out as well.
Yeah, I've seen it already in IMAX. The first day, I did the double feature. I did the Barbie and Oppenheimer on the same day.
Which did you see first?
I saw Oppenheimer first and then Barbie.
Was that a mistake?
I have to say, if I was going to do it again, you should do Barbie first and then Oppenheimer, because it's a lot.
You are a baller and a shot caller doing what you're doing. So glad you could spend some time with us before you go do your Oppenheimer tour or Oppenheimer trip to Los Angeles. We got another great show today. Bet Bash 3 in town, and so the parade continues. Spanky's Bet Bash 3, which has been, by all accounts, just tremendous this week. I'm headed to Legacy tonight, Legacy Club. Certainly doing panel tomorrow. We will have Ed Fang from the Power Rank Roland Studio today. Ed, one of the nicest guys in the business, known him for years and years. Ed has done a piece at the Power Rank on interceptions, the predictive nature of interceptions. And it just so happens that last night, there's a little flex coming up here, Brian. Last night at Carbone with the Profit Exchange boys, I don't know why we ended up talking about Dean, Jake, and company. I don't know why we ended up talking about interceptions just coincidentally, because I want to get into this momentarily about the quarterback to throw the most interceptions this year. But somehow we drifted into that, so it dovetails nicely in with what Ed is going to talk about. So I'll give my thoughts in the first segment, and then Ed will add on to those when he shows up here in just a bit with bad ball rate as part of that, what is not tracked by conventional stats. So we'll get into that with Ed Fang. Mark Borchardt on baseball. We get a drop in from Dave Check, I believe, for a few good minutes on the show. Dave Check is a Emmy Award winner, a Peabody Award winner, a documentarian who's going to just tell us about his latest documentary that's on Amazon Prime. We'll also hear from Bill Krakenberger. It's Thursday. It's usually unscripted with the crack for an hour, but he's not in town, so we'll do one segment with Billy, find out what he's up to. And then Las Vegas Chris will be in studio. Las Vegas Chris, everybody, who... You know, with apologies again, Steve Fezzik, only back-to-back Hilton Super Contest winner. James Salinas will be with us in studio tomorrow. He won the Super Contest, then finished third the next year, had another 26th place finish, if I'm not mistaken. They're all great. Maybe Las Vegas Chris is the best of the bunch. I don't want to put anybody over anybody else, but Las Vegas Chris, in terms of historical contest results, multiple playoff appearances in the Golden Nugget contest, including a first and second regular season finish. He won the Palms NFL Challenge, I want to say at the beginning of the last decade. I think it was 2010. Winner of the Wynn Casino, single survivor, $100,000 single survivor back early part of last decade. 2016, Stations Casinos NCAA Last Man Standing winner, 52G on that. Circa million lifetime results. This is before last year. I can't remember what he did this past year. He'll let us know. 212, 128, 64% rate. Yeah, pretty good. 2019, Circa Millions. He had two entries. He finished 31st and 20th. Cashed, I believe. No, he didn't. Did he cash that year? I'm not sure. But then 2020, he did. He had two entries. He finished 2nd and 5th. Took down almost $250,000 there. 2021, Stations Casino, Last Man Standing. This time the NFL version. He finished tied for first. You get the idea. The man is a contest fiend. And he's going to join us to talk, yes, I'll try to coax some NFL thoughts out of him for sure. What he thinks, the consensus opinions that we've heard this offseason, what does he jibe with? What does he think maybe people have gone too far on? But basically, he wants to talk, and we will get into this, about his NFL prep from week to week, what he does prep-wise, which may sound real simple to a lot of people, but this is what it takes for you to be that successful in all this thing. He has a routine. He has things that he wants to share, both in terms of what media he takes in and other things that he goes through to just be mentally prepared week to week in the National Football League. And for someone that successful, look forward to hearing what that's all about. First, about those interceptions. So again, this is just a conversation we got into last night at dinner, which is, okay, this is a fun market. Most interceptions in the National Football League this year, it's always a market that's fun because, again, as I like to say, when I bet unders, betting against human achievement, this might be the ultimate example of that, betting against human achievement. Odds to have the most interceptions, these are available. I know Circa has it. DraftKings certainly does. We'll throw up the DraftKings odds. Josh Allen and Dak Prescott are your short shots, each at 10-1, followed by Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love. The three of them are at 13-1, and then Tannehill, Stafford, and Deshaun at 15-1. Joe Burrow, the only other person under 20-1. He's at 16-1. Again, shop around. These are the DraftKings numbers. So, again, I'll do the more simplistic analysis of this, and then we'll get Ed Feng to add a layer in just a bit. But as I go through this, I did a two-year analysis of this. Basically, first of all, if you do just aggregate interceptions over the last 2 years, so you just want to go through that, most interceptions over the last 2 years, it is Josh Allen, believe it or not, with 29. He leads that list. Derek Carr, now the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, comes in at 28. Burrow's at 26, last 2 years interceptions. And then you have six guys, who have 25 over the last 2 years. Davis Mills, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and then Mac Jones is at 24. Then there's a bit of a drop-off last 2 years. So those are the 10 guys with the most interceptions from Allen to Jones, 29 to 24. Okay, that's the most simple sort of aggregate there, obviously, just count them up. The other thing I wanted to look at is, what about their interception rate? And again, this is not the end-all, be-all of this. We'll have Ed Feng from the Power Rank add to this. But if you look at most interceptions by percentage of pass attempts, or by most interceptions by percentage, again, interceptions per pass attempts, in other words, over the last two seasons, what you will find is that Davis Mills ends up with the highest percentage rate, 2.86%. We're showing the number of interceptions per pass attempts on the board. It's Mills followed by Lamar Jackson at 2.82%. Baker Mayfield, de facto starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at 2.79%. Matthew Stafford, who's going to start this season for the Rams, at 2.77%, followed by Dak at 2.53%. So the goal of this, obviously, is to figure out where are the bets. It should be noted before I move on and try to figure out where are the bets. Those are two-year numbers. If we go to one-year numbers, the guy who has the actual highest interception rate would be in second place, Deshaun Watson, who threw 5 in 170 attempts last year. That's 2.94%. But Deshaun Watson does not really have an interception problem through his career. Just point that out. But the guy who has the highest one last year, 3.46%, which might not sound like a lot, but is really off the charts in terms of an interception rate per pass attempt, is Justin Fields. Justin Fields threw 11 picks on only 318 attempts. That's a 3.46% interception rate. But when you break it down then, who really can you use as throwout? So Mahomes and Herbert, despite all of their picks, their rate, again, just using the two-year sample size, sub 2%. For as many passes as they throw, they really don't throw that many interceptions proportionally. Trevor Lawrence, his two-year rate is really polluted by the Urban Meyer year. Can you really ding Trevor Lawrence for the Urban Meyer year, which was just mishugana by all standards? And then Davis Mills and Matthew Stafford. Well, Davis Mills has a C.J. Stroud issue. He's not starting. C.J. Stroud will play, if not from the very outset, he'll play most of the year, right? He will from the outset, as far as we know. So Davis Mills would really require an injury to get enough playing time to win this market or to cash in this market. And Matthew Stafford, the issue with the Rams is, so many people have said this offseason, if things go sideways for the Rams this year, they'll happily bench Matthew Stafford and move on and see what the likes of a Stetson Bennett has. in store for the Rams this year. So I don't think you can bet on any of those guys. Not Mahomes, not Herbert, not Lawrence, not Mills, not Stafford. So who possibly could be in your short field of possibilities? Well, I think Josh Allen, Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, and the aforementioned Justin Fields. If that is going to be the norm and not just a one-year exception, I think you have to consider that. Issue again, though, of those five, Allen and Dak have the low number at 10-1. If we could flash those back up again, Brian, the odds actually are. Allen and Prescott are 10-1. I don't think that's enough bang for your buck there, which leaves you with Joe Burrow, still 16-1. Not so sexy. I think it's Derek Carr and Justin Fields, for me, that are very intriguing. Derek Carr, 25-1. Justin Fields, I believe, is 30-1 here at DraftKings. We don't have him on the board, but I believe he is 30-1.
Yeah, these are like the top 20 guys I believe we have.
Yeah. So those are the ones. Carr, because here's the thing. They're not taking Carr out in New Orleans unless he really messes up, right? This is their big acquisition, the big transactional move this offseason. So you don't have the threat of a quick hook on Derek Carr. You certainly don't have that with Justin Fields. Obviously, if they were so horrific, that'd be a different story. But really, they would have to crater for that to happen. So those are the two guys I like the best, given the number. Now, that's a very simplistic analysis, believe it or not. Ed Feng from the Power Rank will come later and say, well, it's one thing to look at those aggregate numbers that are available in any box score and add it up at the end of a season. But what about their actual bad ball rates? We got to throw that in the mix. Maybe we come up with somebody else. So before you place your bets, let's hear from Ed. That's in a bit. First, a stop in from Dave Check, Emmy Award winner. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM, with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander live from the South Point. Tennis picks coming up later this segment. Hit on Ludmila Samsonova yesterday. Easy peasy win for her. That's a good 3-1 week so far. Four picks coming up today in both Toronto and Montreal. Two in the morning, two in the afternoon. So we'll get to those momentarily. But first, a little drop in. You don't often get a big maher like this, 25 Emmys to his name, a Peabody Award over three decades, was the executive producer of MLB Productions for 17 years. You may know him, or you may know his documentaries. They are plentiful. Nolan Ryan's documentary that's on Showtime, or the documentary that focuses on Nolan Ryan called Facing Nolan, available on Netflix these days. David Ortiz, Legend of the Fall, out there, of course. Folks will remember the Showtime docuseries Action, which focused on Bill Krakenberger, Todd Wishnev, Kelly Stewart, Vegas Dave from a few years back. All those seasons with college football teams, the season with Notre Dame football, Florida State football and the like back on Showtime so many years ago. So many of these award-winning documentaries. Dave Check joins us now to talk about his latest. How you doing, Dave?
All right. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing
well.
I'm doing very well. Your latest is, and we'll get to your one of the co-directors who's going to join us as well. But your latest is called Destination NBA, a G League story, which focuses on
G League Odyssey.
We have it wrong on the screen. Our apologies. Destination NBA, a G League Odyssey. And the reason it's an odyssey is because it's an odyssey for four different guys, right? One of whom we know about, Scoot Henderson, who was the third overall pick in the draft. We all saw him at Summer League 2 here in Vegas. But Gabe York, an eight-year veteran, who is trying to catch on to the NBA again. Ryan Terrell, a two-year vet who's trying to be the first Orthodox Jew to make the National Basketball Association. And Denzel Valentine, who was drafted by the Bulls in 2016 but is now back in the G League. What was it about all this that made you want to do a story and a documentary?
Well, first, I think we have to go back to the beginning where, you know, I believe that the idea was hatched with Bill Simmons, and who had been perpetually fascinated with the G League and just kind of an undiscovered story about what it takes to live on the margins like that and to squeeze through a very small a window of opportunity and all the backstories that are associated with that odyssey. And so I think we set about the most important thing for the filmmaking team, which includes myself, Liam, who I believe is on right now as one of the co-directors, and Brian Robinson, who couldn't join us today. We set about finding a diverse cast of characters that would represent the diverse nature of the G League. It is a fascinating ecosystem that we wanted to be true to. And so for every Scoot Henderson, who is a blue chipper, I think we can all agree on that, there are multiple players that are on the fringes. A guy like Gabe York, who I affectionately call Crash Davis, a guy that has been soldiering through and playing maybe internationally and 4 years in the G League and really trying to make it stick at the NBA level. You mentioned Denzel. There are not that many former college players of the year floating around the G League. Ryan Terrell, a unicorn, and the one that was not mentioned was Mason Jones, co-SEC player of the year a few years ago for Arkansas, who taught the filmmaking team that, that confidence is a very a mercurial feeling. I think, he has a lot of confidence. He believes he should be at the NBA level. He believes he could be one of the best players at the NBA level. But yet, has gone back and forth a little bit. So, it was fascinating to be in their lives. But I'm going to kick it over to Liam.
Let me jump to Liam. Liam, who's a co-director, Liam Hughes. Liam, was it easy to get all of these guys to open up, or were some more reticent than others at the beginning of this process and required some coaxing?
Well, we were pleasantly surprised from the start, I will say. As documentary filmmakers, it's always a question as to how much people are going to open up, how much they're going to want to share, how deep they're going to be willing to go into their struggles, because I think that's, at the end of the day, what most viewers can relate to is struggle. And these guys just seemed ready to tell their stories, every single one of them. Which was a real treat for us. And, I think my co-director, Bryant, and I talk a lot about trust. It's so important to build trust with these guys. And I think that from the start, we really showed them and we created a safe space for them to open up and be vulnerable. And we really showed them that we want to reach the depths of their stories so that we can make the most impactful film possible, and they really bought into that, so we were very lucky.
Shot over how long a period of time, by the way?
8 or 9 months, I think, from start to finish.
Okay. Dave, where can people watch this? Where is and when is it debuting?
Well, it just dropped 2 nights ago. It's on Amazon Prime. And we're very pleased with the feedback so far that we're seeing. I think if you read the reviews, the people really understood what we were endeavoring to do. I think, one aspect of the film that we're really proud of as well is we interviewed a number of former G League players who are now in the NBA who could inform the journey of our current characters. And I'm very confident I speak for Liam when I say we were really impressed with their insights, particularly Spencer Dinwiddie, who was just starts and finishes the film, basically. That's a bit of a spoiler alert, but he was just so eloquent in really making the G League Odyssey so relatable to anybody.
Beautiful thing. We all look forward to it. Amazon Prime, again, Destination NBA, a G League Odyssey. Let's get that straight. David Check, executive producer, and Liam Hughes, a co-director, along with Brian Robinson. Thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dave Check.
Thanks so much for having us.
You got it.
Thank you. A
stream from David Check of just award-winning documentaries. And again, if you haven't seen Facing Nolan on Netflix, just an awesome profile of one of baseball's greats. Never won a Cy Young. Never. Not once. Most no-hitters, most one-hitters, most two-hitters. Never won a Cy Young. Absolutely ridiculous. But, of course, those of us who participated on Action, the Showtime docuseries from several years back, that was the sports betting one that he delved into, and we'll see if he dips a toe in those waters once again. Tennis picks as promised for the day. Again, the men are in Toronto. The ladies are in Montreal. This is a hardcore tournament where there's one tournament in between this one and the U.S. Open. They still play in Cincinnati before we play the last slam of the year, the United States Open in New York. But so far, so good this week. Four picks today, two in the morning, two in the afternoon. And these lines sort of were released in that order, waiting for the afternoon ones late into the night yesterday. But in the morning, going with Milos Raonic. Milos Raonic is a Canadian player, big server, who has been riddled with injuries over the last few years, including at the very end of all of his other injuries, hip and ankle and those sorts of things, and torn Achilles. But Raonic is back. This is probably his last tournament ever in Canada on his home turf. Milos Raonic at minus 118. You might actually be able to get a few pennies better than I did on Raonic in this one. I'm taking him, though, just all of these based, again, on data, serve data, return data, break data as well, and really manifest well on hard court. So Milos Raonic minus 118 over Mackenzie McDonald, the American. You might be able to get this a little bit better than I did price-wise by a few sets. Alejandro Davidovich or Davidovich Fokino. Fokina is the Spanish player. I got him at plus 126. He's about 20 cents worse than this now. It's kind of out of range. If it comes back to plus 110 or better, I would play it again. But right now it's showing at plus 106, what I'm seeing. Shop around for this. Got it at plus 126. Again, these are all available at VSiN.com/picks on the overnight for subscribers only. So that's why you're seeing the numbers not quite at what they are right now. This afternoon, a couple matches on the ladies' side. Leila Fernandez, also Canadian, got her at plus 115. She's only a few pennies worse than that against Danielle freaking Collins, who's playing really well. But Leila really should not be a dog here. This should be more of a coin flip. She's at about plus 111. I'd play that. And then Ludmila Samsonova, who we had a winner on yesterday. She's taking on Aryna Sabalenka. Got her north of $2 last night, plus 203. She's about plus 193 right now. That is very much playable. So those are your four picks. Raonic, Davidovich, Fokina, Samsonova, and of course Fernandez. Coming back with baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro as in become a VSiN pro subscriber, getting all access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. And the only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN pro subscriber. And you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Get picks, power ratings, previews, predictions, pro. Alliteration, ladies and gentlemen. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Danny letting us know about Darren Revelle highlighting a detail in the Billy Walters book, Gambler, that's coming out. Billy Walters will be interviewed by Spanky tomorrow at Bet Bash 3, which everybody's looking forward to. Alan Shipnuck, the author of this, doing it for Billy Walters and Gambler. Walters' records show that Phil Mickelson, bet at least $311 million in their five-year gambling partnership between 2010 and 2014. $311 million. Honestly, that sounds like more than it is. Because with his net worth, even smaller-time gamblers, if you gamble every day, it still ends up being millions. So for Phil's amount of money and net worth, 311 over a five-year span, actually not all that much, to be quite honest with you. I'm not as amazed by that detail, perhaps. This is from Norman Vegas. My wife and I, oh, this is for you, Brian. My wife and I went to Oppenheimer and 70mm IMAX 2 weeks ago at Regal Palace in Ontario. It looked fabulous, well worth the trip, and we found a great sports bar, 4th and Mill, a few blocks away where we watched baseball and the Women's World Cup. And then Elvis Toast Patterson said, Gilly, your producer, Wyatt, it's actually Brian today, is doing it right. Go see a movie in IMAX 70mm film theater. We have one here in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. What an experience. So people respect what you're doing.
All right. Yeah, look at that.
Trip Tepper, You had me at Orthodox Jew trying to make the NBA. I'm in. That's exactly how he had me in. Check
oh,
also.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, so I watched the whole thing last night in preparation for today, and it was really interesting. So I'm not a big, like, basketball fan. I don't follow it as much as the other sports, especially, like G League. Like, I never really think about it. But I guess the Las Vegas Ignite that are from Vegas are actually, like, one of the best teams in the league. It had Scoot Henderson on the team.
Well, we went down and watched Scoot play Wembanyama one day.
Yeah, but I thought a lot of the storylines were very interesting, kind of like Hard Knocks-ish.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting.
Well, Chek did those. He did those Showtime college football ones, which were very Hard Knocks-y as well. He's done a tremendous amount of things, again, award-winning. Thrilled that he was able to join us. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location.
Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
There you go. Borchardt, ad base winner.
Beautiful. I could just play that for my wife every morning. I think she'd enjoy that.
She'd think of you so differently, wouldn't she? She'd be like, well, Mark, how about you with the swag? Basewinner.com, basewinner, at basewinner, the basewinner podcast as well. How you doing, man? You good?
Yeah, after that, I mean, gosh, I'm ready to take on the day. Thank you. Who did that? Which producer did that?
Kevin Trask. Kevy Kev. No relation to Kyle, no relation to Amy. But Kevin Trask does it. The mind on your money and money on your mind, which is amusing only because it's from you, which, you know, we think of you as a very numbers crunching baseball guy. So the fact that you say that when you're setting up your camera is always amusing to us. What do you have in baseball today?
This is a true story, though. Before we get into it, every other week I do a wrap on Friday on the MLB show. It's okay. Sometimes it's awful, but sometimes it's pretty good. So that is a true story.
Wait a minute. You do what? What did you say you do?
I like mix lyrics up to like baseball handicapping. So like, snap, crackle, pop. No. Crackle, pop, snap. Base winners apps. Got the numbers that you can use to cap. So
what is happening?
It's actually...
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
Where can people hear that for those who want more of you spitting?
MLB show every weekday. I'm on Monday through Friday, okay. And then every other Friday is the base winner wrap.
Okay.
True story.
There it is. True story.
We're gonna do Rihanna tomorrow. We're gonna do Live Your Life tomorrow, based on some input that we got from Jason Weingarten. So
okay.
There's actually some thought behind it.
What did you and please don't try to rhyme these. What did you pick today in baseball? What did you bet on?
This is a good reason for me not going on Thursday, going on Tuesday, because this card's like pretty bad.
Yeah.
So. There's only like seven games, but people are going to love this. I think the best way to attack this card is to go Tampa, Boston, Dodgers parlay. And I'll pay plus 189. And I've got the Dodgers. I got Kershaw coming back tonight. So I think might be my only bet of the night, Gil.
Tampa, LA Dodgers, Boston Red Sox parlay. That's what you're doing?
Yes. Yes. That's how I'm going to do it, Gil.
Steve Fezzik.
Plus 189.
Not happy right now. Yeah, plus 189, but there you go. Okay, so a three-team parlay on this. Talk to me about the Giants. You look up at the NL West standings, and all of a sudden it's a six-game lead. They just can't score. Is this going to – I mean, are they going to make – forget the division for now. Are they going to make it to the postseason?
So I have them as making it to the postseason 73.4% of the time. And that's minus 276 odds. They're at DK right now at minus 250. So still a little bit of value to make the playoffs, but nothing to win the division. I think the Dodgers have that sewn up. In fact, I would lay the wood 20-1. I would bet your money on that, Gil, for the Dodgers to win the division.
You would bet my money on it. By the way, Giants still with a three-game bulge between them and being out of the postseason, where the Cubs and the Reds are on the outside looking in. Who's the team we haven't talked about at all this year? I'm looking at the Phillies. Obviously, we've brought up the Cubs recently because you advocated a bet. We never talk about the Phillies. What's your thoughts on them?
I think that, I think that there's a bet you can make with the Phillies. Plus 800 to not make the playoffs. And I think they'll get there. I've got them at 68.5% of the time. Minus 217, but the Marlins could get there. The Cubs could get there. And then there's a couple other teams that are kind of in the fringe a little bit. I still got the Padres 28.4% chance to get in the playoffs, rather. The Reds 23% chance. And then the Brewers have kind of added. So they've kind of increased their probability. So while I think the Phillies will get to the playoffs, I mean, I haven't getting there 69% of the time. I think that that's, you know, at 8-1 not to make the playoffs, not a bad idea. They are having issues, Gil, with their bullpen. And I don't know what's going on with the health of Alvarado, but that's a big deal. So I'm just not sure. And so their bullpen really doesn't rate very high. And then offensively, I don't have them as high as you would think. So that those are the main reasons why I think that might be a good play, Gil.
Interesting. 8-1 to not make the playoffs with the Philadelphia Phillies, who right now are 4 clear of being on the outside of the playoff picture. The Giants are 3 clear. Phillies occupying the number 1 wild card position right now. The Giants occupying the number 2. Marlins clinging to the number 3 position in the National League. The other team in the American League, the other team that we rarely bring up, I guess there's a couple in the American League, right? We don't really necessarily focus on the Red Sox that much. They're 5 out. But the Mariners are 2 out of a wild card position. The Blue Jays occupying that last position wild card wise right now, still more than a quarter of the season left. I mean, baseball season is interminable, so there's still so much to play, more than 40 games. What about the Blue Jays and the Mariners? Your thoughts on both of those teams?
Well, I think the Mariners are an interesting thing because they're second in pitching, but in offensive production, I mean, you got to go down almost like they're 24th, Gil. So, you know, you put it in the mixer and they're like 15th from or 13th rather from a run differential standpoint. So I don't really like them as much as I thought I would to make the playoffs. So right now they're priced in the market. You can get plus 135 to make the playoffs. Well, I don't think that's a good price. I only have them making the playoffs 39.5% of the time. So it's not like a bet against or bet play. It's kind of like, well, the odds are where they need to be for Seattle. But, you know, I want to play that team. I really like the story over Gil, but the numbers just don't add up.
Yeah, I mean, you're the guy that's come on this show. You gave us Robbie Ray 100-1. You gave us the Cubs at 12-1. I want to say it was to win the division when you gave us 12-1 a few weeks back.
It was. Yeah.
I mean, is that 8-1 on the Phillies not to make the playoffs your favorite bet right now? What's your favorite thing as you look across the betting landscape with all of these?
There's a couple. We'll just focus with this play to make playoff market. I think the Red Sox have a chance to make the playoffs. You know, you can get them. I think now maybe you could double check on DK. I've got them at 9-1 to make the playoffs, the odds. And I think that they make the playoffs 22% of the time. So that's plus 339. So I think that's value for the Red Sox to make the playoffs. Pretty darn good team. Starting pitching's good. The offense is good, Gil.
Okay. I was doing a whole thing on the Cubs. I still think the Cubs at current numbers, and it's way worse than what you gave it out, right? But it's still plus money. How are they such big plus money to win the division and still plus money to make the postseason? That still represents value, doesn't it?
I would totally agree with you 100%. I think that they should be plus 132 to win the division. They're plus 230. So that's good that right there.
It's crazy.
To win the division. And then, I've got them to make the playoffs. That's one of those teams that's going to maybe bump the Phillies out 62.4% of the time, minus 166. You can get them at plus money. Why not?
Yeah, and I guess as long as they keep losing to the Mets, that number's still going to be out there. It's not going anywhere, obviously, the Mets series.
Well, are the Mets that bad, though? Because the Mets, you know, they were going to be the winners, everybody thought. And that offense is still relatively intact. So yeah. I don't know if that's as bad as it looks, you know.
Got to run. Mark, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Mark Borchardt, mind on his
money. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Money on his mind. Ed Fang next on Football Interception.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $100 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $100 bonus as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus. Bonus expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Alvarez, are you going to have Joe Theismann on this week to help with the three-team 10-point teasers? That's right. I think Joey T., Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 17 MVP. Joe Theismann came on the show during the regular season last year and advocated three-team 10-point teasers. We don't advocate that during the regular season. But once again, week one of the National Football League preseason kicks off tonight with two games, then and really in earnest tomorrow. But again, last year, every permutation, every combo of three-leg 10-point teasers, all to the over, in other words, all 560 cashed, so 560-0. They didn't really adjust totals. If you're able to get to a book which allows those bets at a limit that is worth your time, I absolutely advocate them. But yeah, Mike Alvarez making the point that I forgot Theismann did that last year during the regular season. We all kind of just bit our tongue. We hope to have Joe back. Always a thrill for me. This is from Tom F. Does Marky Mark Borchard take requests? I do not know. With his what was the cringe factor on him spitting rhymes there at the end? What's the cringe factor on me saying spitting? Let's just say that.
It wasn't too bad, but like not as bad as that. I think the Angels had a weird like rap, and then not the Angels. It was, I forget who it was in the playoffs last year, baseball team. Yeah. I was afraid he was going to go that way, but he didn't. He was good.
LFC title records. Wait, producer number 47 watched the entire G League documentary and still got the graphic wrong? Sounds like someone was a little too preoccupied. Or on finding front row IMAX tickets. That's exactly right. You've nailed Ortega to a T. Eric Biggio from Will Hill. Always enjoy your baseball segments. Agree with you guys on the Cubs. They've got some soft spots on their schedule that should help them out. And it's, as for Mark, he said, as far as your MC skills, sorry, you're no KRS-One. Please stick with spitting fire on the bases. Eric, I couldn't agree more about that as well. It is Bet Bash 3. Bet Bash 3 happening all week at Circa, Spanky's phenomenal sports betting conference. Bet Bash 2 last year was during the weekend, and it was sensational. This one's during the week. I am moderating a panel tomorrow called Traders, the relationship between bookmakers and bettors. Mitch Moss is doing one on college football handicapping. And Sammy Panayotovic is doing one on a gambling Twitter. And then tomorrow night, the Hall of Fame is taking place, the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Chrissy Andrews was on this show announcing names that would be inducted. So that big ceremony is tomorrow night. And so many people have been kind enough to roll through the South Point from across town, including our next guest, who is, of course, the proprietor over there at thepowerrank.com. It's our old buddy, Ed Fang. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great, Gale. Thanks so much for having me.
I love how you've been in this seat waiting patiently for minutes on end.
That's right.
We'll give away the secret sauce there. So earlier, first of all, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Gil.
How are your kids doing? Are they still becoming superstars?
They're doing really well. Yeah. Really happy. Had a great summer.
Okay. Earlier on the show, this is purely by coincidence, at dinner last night, we just started riffing about most interceptions. Mm-hmm. I'm totally being serious. And so I did the very simple analysis of, okay, here are the guys with the most interceptions over the last 2 years,
yep.
And then here by percentage, interceptions per pass attempt. Mm-hmm. You, and you've done this for many years, you have really tried to harness the predictive nature of this. Can it be predicted?
Right.
And so you went a step further. Explain what that was all about.
Absolutely. So when you look at interceptions per pass attempt, it turns out it's not as predictive as you might like it to be. And, you know, when you try to project, let's say Jalen Hurts from last year, his 1% interception rate compared to an NFL average of 2.3%, when you try to use that to predict what happens this year, you don't get too much predictive power. So what I found is you actually need to expand the set of events that you look at. The play-by-play tracks passes defended, so these are plays in which a defender gets a hand on the ball. That can be at the line of scrimmage. That can be a secondary player. And then also plays in which the defender jars the ball loose with a hit. And
Wishnev and I used to call this the batting average of balls in play of quarterbacks. The good fortune or bad fortune, yeah.
Batting average of balls in play. Right, but wait, haven't we found there that there's a little bit more variation than we first thought?
Yeah.
At first, we thought it was like everyone's at 300. And then
299, and then it was 290 last year. Yeah.
Well, and then Mariano's, yeah. I think I looked, Mariano Rivera's career average was like 260 or something like that.
Matt Cain was super under it for a couple years in a row. Yeah.
So it turns out to be very predictive. So when you look at interceptions plus these passes defended, that's about as predictive as any quarterback statistic gets. So that's the super sophisticated way of looking at it. The kind of the take-home message, Gil, is that when you have a 1% interception rate, like a Daniel Jones had last year, like a Jalen Hurts had last year. It's unsustainable. You didn't need me to dig into the play-by-play to tell you that.
Yeah.
But when you dig into the play-by-play, you get the same answer. And I think, you know, we all know about it. The Giants last year, really amazing start to the season, made the playoffs. You know, and Daniel Jones, when you do the bad ball analysis, like when you look at passes defended, he's gotten a lot better than he was as a rookie. He got a lot better 2 years ago before Brian Daboll was there. But when you look at how he projects for this year, it's much closer to the NFL average of 2.3% than the 1% from last season.
So if we want to make a bet on this, though, so most interceptions for the season, what are your – so this is – what you're basically trying to find here is a bad ball rate.
Right.
You're trying to see, like, okay, regardless of the result of the play,
right,
which we know could be a reception, could be an interception, ball could just fall to the turf harmlessly.
Yep.
But in terms of someone who is consistently throwing bad balls, like Brock Purdy had a few last year where even – and I was a big Niners guy, but even as it was going on and he was winning seven in a row, I was like, boy, he's getting real lucky on this. And Pro Football Focus numbers sort of corroborate that. Kirk Cousins, for years we talked about, we're like, oh, my God, this guy hits guys in the chest and on defense. We play in Washington. I was like, this guy is the luckiest.
Right.
Where's the bet based on what you have looked at?
For sure. I mean, for me, I'm looking for game-by-game interception props. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting Daniel Jones to open up, like, you know, plus money to go under a half interceptions. That's usually how that market works, under and over. So whether you don't throw an interception or whether you do throw an interception, definitely cashed, I forget which game it was with the Giants, maybe that playoff game, maybe the one before. But the analysis held, right? Like, he had this amazing stretch last year where I think he threw one interception in like seven games or something like that. That's going to affect the interception market. Be like, oh, this guy's amazing. He's good, but he is NFL average when it comes to turnover prevention. When you look at the bad balls. And by the way, all the bad ball stuff's on my site. So go check it out at thepowerrank.com. I thought about keeping it behind a paywall. I don't think I'm going to. Let's just have everyone can have at it.
Thepowerrank.com.
Thepowerrank.com.
Yeah. Okay.
I also looked at Brock Purdy because I was trying to find a problem with that little man last year. I was like, how is this guy continually thwarting my NFL spread bets? I mean, what was like Tampa Bay? You know, we had Tampa Bay and Tom Brady like plus something at San Francisco. Like, how did that not win? You know, his bad ball rate was also NFL average. You know, he was right at there. And obviously, you're going to see some plays, and you know, he's a rookie.
So you prefer attacking this game by game,
game by game,
because there are, and by the way, there are season long not only odds to have the most interceptions, which we talked about earlier on the show, but also season total over-unders for each of these guys available at DraftKings, you know, and so you can bet over and under on them. But you don't want to do the season long. You prefer to have someone whose bad ball rate is clearly not reflective of what his interceptions have become, and then you want to exploit that on a week-to-week basis.
I think the most power is on a week-to-week basis, and that's why I put those numbers on my site.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look at what the numbers have. DraftKings just has everything, don't they, in terms of, like, you know, like, let's say, for example, Jalen Hurts' interception total is 6 this year. Yeah, you want. I don't think it is. I don't think they're that dumb.
Right.
They might be. I don't know. But, yeah, I wouldn't be against those markets either. You know, I kind of want to exploit Giants under win total, but I think that's priced correctly.
I'm all about that.
I'm not brave enough to go Eagles under win total, even though I think there's a ton of regression for that team everywhere. I do have my questions about that team. But they do have a lot of talent. I do think Jalen Hurts is good. He's not Patrick Mahomes good, but I'm not quite ready to.
But the big takeaway though is don't be fooled by a one year sample of a Jalen Hurts or a Daniel Jones to the good and to the bad. What would you say about someone like Justin Fields though? Justin Fields, who had a well over almost a 3.5% interception rate. Do you think like someone like that we got to run? But do you think someone like that might actually be his real rate? You wouldn't buy it.
We'll see. I mean, you know, Jameis for a while was bad, but wasn't as bad as some of his years. I think his first year with the Arians, he was really bad, but even he would regress down a little bit.
Ed Fang, thepowerrank.com. Always a pleasure to hang out with Ed. We'll come back. Bill Krakenberger from I don't know where. Next, Unscripted, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.